So the immediate question is, given that C, just by itself, as we've described it just now, clearly doesn't follow from A and B. I mean, if I say A and B, it doesn't follow that one has to say C. But if I say, for example, the streets are wet, let that be A, and Ecuador is in South America, let that be B, the fact that both of these are true doesn't tell us anything about the truth of something like the fact that dogs are mammals. All of these may be true, but we can infer the last from the earlier two. It doesn't, as we say, follow from the fact that the streets are wet and that Ecuador is in South America that dogs are mammals. It does, however, follow from the fact that the streets are wet, and wet streets means dogs are mammals, that dogs are mammals. That's, of course, a silly piece of reasoning, since not all of it is true. But the question that we want to figure out then is, what does it take for two sentences together to allow the inference of a third? What is it about pieces of assertion that we make that allows us formally to infer another piece of truth from the truth of those two? And what can we infer? The Prior Analytics, Aristotle's work on logic, is concerned with a formal account of the sorts of relations that assertions have to one another for something else to be inferable. And in a sense, when you remember Thomas Gray in the last lecture describes Aristotle as having, in a sense, invented the science of logic, it is Aristotle's careful and thoughtful putting together the different forms and structures of the syllogism that represents virtually the first major attempt to work out a formal structure of what kinds of structures of inference are valid, as we say, that is, represent proper inference, and how sentences have to be related to one another in order to justify this kind of inference and exhibit that kind of validity. The short book that's called On Interpretation, in turn, concerns itself with the elements that go into making up these kinds of syllogistic reasonings, the elements that are, on Aristotle's view, either affirmations, in which I say something is the case, or denials, in which I deny that something is the case. In an affirmation, one thing is affirmed of another. Dogs are mammals, affirms being a mammal of dogs, or, on some people's view, affirms mammal of dogs. Or their denials, as when we say that porpoises are not fish, and we're denying the appropriate assertion of fish to porpoises. In such affirmations and denials, as you can hear, there are two elements, and Aristotle is concerned to sort this out, the two elements. A subject about which we're saying something, or of which we're affirming or denying something, and the predicate, which is what it is that is affirmed or denied, that is, what it is that's said of the subject. Affirmation and denial, then, are instances of predication, of asserting one thing of another, a predicate of a subject. Think of predicate and subject here as extensions of what we learned when we learned grammar and learned that every sentence, characteristically sentences, have subjects and predicates. Aristotle's remarks in the book On Interpretation are, as it were, a logical grammar of thought, that is, a logical grammar of our discourse and our thinking. In this work on interpretation, Aristotle sees all thought and discourse as exhibiting that structure of subject and predicate. Subjects may be individual entities, as when we predicate horse of some particular horse, that is, when we say Dobbin is a horse or think Dobbin is a horse, or the subject may itself be a universal, that is, not an individual particular, but simply horse. So in addition to saying that Dobbin is a horse, we may say that horses are mammals, or that being a horse involves being a mammal. Notice that it then follows that Dobbin is a mammal. And lo and behold, there we are. We've got a syllogism. If I say, in other words, that horses are mammals and that Dobbin is a horse, then we feel it follows that Dobbin is a horse. Or as in the more famous version of the syllogism that we sometimes attribute to Aristotle, although it's not a syllogism that Aristotle ever gave,